Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all,
people
y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, and some guidance from above. These people got me questioning, where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Where is the love? The love, the love.
It just ain't the same, always new change, new days are strange, is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I can ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denies our brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. Put the love, y'all.
Start talking, man. How y'all doing tonight, man? How you doing tonight, bro?
Hey, in the house.
In the house, man. In the house. I tell you, man.
I like Martin up in here. Not Martin.
I know. I was wondering who you were sounding like. Somebody like that. Check this out. How's the weather there, sir?
Yo. Man, it's bad. We got rain, snow, ice. It's not a pretty day in the neighborhood.
And you are where? For those of us listening that don't know, and you are where?
We are broadcasting from the nation's capital, right outside of Washington, D.C., in the city of Largo, Maryland.
Largo, Maryland. I had a lot of drama in D.C. in the D.C. the other night, didn't you, fellas?
Yeah, we had a visit by some of Trump's folks. They misbehaved. I said Trump's gonna get somebody killed. That's the problem. He does not have a connection between reality. He's not a student of history. I was watching this movie sometime in April. Talks about the Rwandan genocide back in 1994. 800,000 Tutsis were slaughtered by the Hutus. And though we're not talking about, I'm not making an exact comparison, but what happens was you have these folks on these radio stations. You have leaders, irresponsible leaders who don't realize the magnitude of their words. And so they're surrounded by bodyguards and all the trappings of life, but they get these followers all worked up into a frenzy, and they go out here and start committing atrocities. And then, of course, then you commit atrocity on me, then I'm going to commit atrocity on you, and it starts this vicious cycle. And that's the kind of thing that Trump is playing with right now. He does not, because he's not a very bright man, he's either not bright or he's just pure evil or both. But to be playing around with that, and then you have what happened this past weekend in the nation's capital. These Trumpsters come to town, and then they're vandalizing black churches, pulling down Black Lives Matter signs and setting them on fire. And luckily, there was no reaction on the side of the people they were maligning. Next time, if we might not be so fortunate. I'm not advocating violence, but when you start perpetuating violence and pushing violence, violence is the result. Plain and simple.
Pretty much that simple, isn't it? Well, here's my take on Donald Trump. Donald Trump is just pure selfish evil. He doesn't care about anything but himself, period. That's it. And the reason he's getting all these people riled up is to feed his ego and fight his battle, which is he has a battle, his battle to stay out of prison. No, it's very unfortunate.
But somebody, Leon, somebody needs to pull this man aside and say, you are playing with fire.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work for him. It's not going to work for him.
You are playing with fire. You got people with all these guns. You got people all worked up in a frenzy. And you just fanning the flames. And like you said, this past weekend was just a friendly reminder, and I say friendly because it didn't turn more violent than it did. I mean, four people were stabbed, but it's a reminder of what can happen on a larger scale, on a more deadly scale, if Trump and his folks don't turn down the rhetoric. They really need to. They need to do that. That's just, I'm telling you, I'm a student of history. This is how these things start, and once they get out of control, and this is the naivety of it. The folks that are fanning the flame somehow think they're going to be incubated from it.
Right.
But when the machetes come out and the bombs start flying and the bullets start in the air, nobody's exempt. They're not safe either. They don't realize that. They're not going to be safe either. Violence, mob rule takes on a mind of its own. And they need to be mindful of that. And I can't say that enough.
I think the fortunate thing is at this point is there will at least be some type of civility and voice coming from the top. And hopefully that'll make a difference. But Donald Trump is going to make sure that he is heard forever. He's going to do something to try his best to keep the spotlight on him. He can't. The only good thing I heard about Donald Trump lately is that Twitter said they can ban him once he leaves office.
And there you go. You got to take his mouthpiece because I go back to the Rwandan atrocity. They had these radio stations and they had this little militia, Interahamwe. That was the group that's doing most of the killing. They were walking down the streets with a radio in one hand and a machete in the other. They were just soaking that stuff up. And when the United States refused to intervene, this was during Bill Clinton's presidency, and he has gone to Rwanda to apologize because they didn't take any type of action. And he claims because they had just gotten out of that imbroglio with Somalia. But the people who were doing the slaughtering, I mean, literally, they have pictures of them walking down the street with the radio being fed this propaganda in one hand and a machete in the other, going to kill. So in the United States, we have Tucker Carlson, we have Rush Limbaugh, we have Sean Hannity. They're doing the exact same thing that these folks in Rwanda were doing. They're demonizing the other people. They're always saying, you did us wrong. We have a score to settle. And the misfortune is that when Donald Trump leaves office, he's going to have amassed about $300 million from his gullible followers who are feeding his machine to continue this massive onslaught of propaganda. And he's going to have his shadow government in Mar-a-Lago. He's going to be running this shadow government because I know what you said, he's not going to have his mouthpiece. He won't have Twitter. But when you have $300 million to play with, you can find other places to keep your propaganda going.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Donald Trump's going to blow the money. He's not going to spend it on that. He can't spend it on that. He's not disciplined enough to spend it on that. So he's going to blow the money. And if Mar-a-Lago let him come home, that's another question. Will they let him home? When will they let him come home? They're out here protesting now to keep him from coming home.
You're exactly right. They don't want him back. They do not want him because they know the kind of drama he's going to bring.
You realize now why they were voting for him, to keep him out of town. Welcome to the show, Joseph Gatewood. How you doing tonight, bro?
How's it going, Leon? How you doing, Robert?
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Curtis on here?
Man?
Curtis is not on here yet.
Okay. Hey, Robert. Hey, Leon. Good to hear your brothers talking. Hope all you all are well, and hope you are preparing for a wonderful and peaceful Christmas.
Thank you, brother.
Forgot so much going on. I almost forgot Christmas was next week. My sister had to remind
week?
Me of
is it.
Christmas is next week. Yeah.
Next week.
Just shut your mouth and keep on talking. You really?
Next
what you talking
Christmas
about,
Willie? Next week, fellas.
Today.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, but I was listening to you all talking about the ongoing crisis with the outgoing president. Yeah, he is really proving why he shouldn't have been the president in the first place. And
what
and
you
it's
mean?
Really,
man.
And it's really a tragedy for the way he is stirring up so much animosity among people, and people are not accepting the fact that he lost the election because he won't allow them to accept it. But the good thing is, you do have people in key positions that that are really right now. Even Mitch McConnell, as you all saw today, you know, got up before the Senate and announced that Joe Biden was president-elect and he was going to be inaugurated. And, of course, Donald Trump immediately turned against him and started tweeting as he does. Of course, you had the Supreme Court to slap him down. Attorney General pretty much slapped him down. Everybody in the key position, you know, they have slapped him down. So, so he's losing. You know, they're cutting his knees from under him. So, I think he's just making noise and trying to milk this thing called the President of the United States as long as he can, because that's all he was in it for anyway. He was never in it to govern. He was just in it for his own selfish benefit, and right now a lot of people think that he's going to continue to make noise once he leaves office. I don't think so. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I think that you'll go somewhere and hide under a rock and stay under a rock as long as he can stay under that without going to jail.
Well,
he's trying his best to stay in the White House because that's his safe house.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And Joe, I think you made a good point, because this is the unknown, is that part of the appeal of Donald Trump, particularly to people like in Congress and the House and the Senate and a lot of these business owners, is that he is a powerful person. He's the president.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, when that presidential power is no longer with him, he's going to lose a lot of that luster.
Oh yeah, he's losing it day by day.
He's already seeing that with what the Supreme Court is doing to him. Now this court in New York requiring him to turn over his paperwork to the DA in New York, and that's bad news for him. It's just, you know, he sees now how much he really needs to stay in there, but he can't. He's done, bro.
Right.
It's over.
The walls are just coming down around him.
Oh yeah. It is. Curtis, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey brothers. Can y'all hear me?
Rem Kelly.
Yep.
Rem Kelly. Hey bro.
Do y'all hear me very well?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, brother. Hey Joseph, Robert,
hey,
Leon.
Curtis, how you doing?
I called y'all. I deliberately called you in age order because we grew up having to respect the oldest one. Y'all remember anytime we had to get into a car, we would automatically have to give the front seat to the oldest?
The oldest two always got the front seat.
That was pretty slick.
Hey, Joe, I didn't realize that.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, but we had to,
Dad was pretty slick.
But
he had a sister.
Uh-huh.
But you guys,
Dad was pretty slick. Okay, he let the sister help him raise us.
He what now?
Yeah. Dad had a sister.
Yeah, he
put
a sister
in his place. And we know he allowed us to help enforce the sister. Now, you knew.
Exactly right. That was
knew
hard.
I got in his front seat. That was going to be, Joseph had the right to whoop my butt.
That's exactly right. And he wasn't going to interfere.
The thing about it is, and you know the thing about it, we never had a fight because it was automatic. We just had that type of respect. We automatically.
Right.
I already knew if Robert or Joseph or Aaron or even Leon going to be on the passenger front seat, I had to get in the back. If Daniel was up there, then I know Daniel had to get in the back.
That's right.
But
even to this day. To this day, I'm telling you, I'm so programmed. If we had to ride somewhere today, it's all
that's
day.
Right. That's Clyde right.
Clyde and Joseph in the front, or Clyde and Siegel in the front. I'm gonna jump in the back.
And it was the same way with the chicken pieces. Y'all remember that? The same way with the chicken pieces.
Oh yeah, with the chicken.
Oh yeah, that's
go
right.
To the
that's right. You knew if you were on number, you were number 14, you don't go in there getting the breast or drumstick. You know you had to get the neck. You had to get the piece of the neck or the piece of the back. You knew not to do that.
Yep.
or a little piece of the wing or something.
Right.
By the time we got all the way down to Daniel, he didn't get nothing but gravy.
There wasn't nothing in the gravy either, though. And then
Daniel was out of house. Daniel thought chicken was liquid.
when you have a dinner last night, Daniel, where we drink some chicken? Hey, wait a minute.
I think we're the only people, though. I think we are the only people who thought the back was a real piece of chicken. I mean, I used to be wondering why they didn't have the back in the Kentucky Fried Chicken box, you know, that type of thing, or a piece of the neck, you know. We thought they were real pieces of chicken.
Oh yeah,
but
I
didn't realize
KFC cut that chicken up. That back be already in there some kind of way. They got that chicken cut up different. KFC,
yeah, all the pieces we
have. Pieces all
yeah, the back is hooked to something else though. The back is not just by itself. You know that?
No. That Mama's the only one that know how to cut a chicken up like that.
The back was an official piece of, but now it's like you said, it's just a part of something else.
Right.
I mean, we can never find those. You know, I've been to Popeyes and Kentucky Fried and Bojangles. I can never find those pieces we had.
Nope.
I went up to Kentucky Fried Chicken years ago, and I asked him, I told him, that's a piece I want. I told him I want the pulley bone. Man looked at me like, you want what? I said, pulley bone.
Yeah, that's another piece we created.
Bone. I thought that was a piece of chicken. I didn't know it was something Mama came up with.
Part of the breast.
Yeah. Oh, that was
part of the breast.
You didn't get a whole breast.
That was the piece up there. That pulley bone. That was his piece.
Yeah, that was my piece. Well, you know why that was my piece? Everybody else had a partner but me. You know, it was Clyde and JC, Cent and Leon, Aaron and Lewis, and I was just kind of stuck out there in the middle. So Mama said, well, I'm going to feed this boy. But it turned out pretty good, that pulley bone.
I don't know if you're in that high rank to get the pulley bone. That's pretty high.
Huh?
That's pretty high rank.
Joseph was the family pet, though.
He must have been.
He was, man.
To this day, I still think of, when I think of pulley bone, I only think of Joseph. Nobody else thinks of pulley bone.
I know it, man.
Was Joseph he had
it. He got it. I don't know how he got that rank, but he got it.
Yeah, that took some serious education. Look.
Well, you know, I was kind of sick growing up, and you know, Mama and them had to look out for me, kind of, you know.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
You know, Mama brought me. I'm gonna tell you, when I was in the hospital, when I was about five, might have been about 5 years old, 5 or 6, something like that. and I was in the hospital sick. They weren't giving me nothing to drink but milk. Mama brought me a chicken drumstick to the hospital in a little brown bag. I never will forget that. I ate that chicken drumstick, and boy, the next day I was up out of there.
Man,
the only thing I needed was chicken.
That's discrimination. You got a drumstick.
That's
you
a little chicken.
Named the drumstick. You named the pulley bone. Man,
it was a wing.
That's VIP.
That was a wing drumstick, man.
All right, man. Let's move on.
Check this out, guys. I sent you guys a video. I was assuming you guys may not have seen the video of where the civil rights leaders had a Zoom meeting with Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, President-elect Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I keep hearing a lot of talk about how he was condescending to them and this and that. I looked at the entire video. I may have missed that part. I may have dozed off at that point or got distracted, but I didn't really see any points of that I considered to be or interpreted to be condensation, if you will. I did notice when Derek Johnson, the NAACP president, the national NAACP president, mentioned to Vice President-elect Joe Biden that the black community was getting a little uneasy or worrying about his selection and how it was going in for the black community. Biden got very agitated. I did notice that. And he kind of snapped. And he just starts kind of letting him know the things that he had already done. And the thing that the fact that we had just gotten the most racist president ever out of the White House. And he really did go down a good list of things he had done. First of all, the thing that impressed me the most, of course, they had hired a black female as vice president.
Right.
And he did keep telling them, guys, I'm working on it. I can assure you, we're going to make this thing work. We're going to do police reform. I assure you, it's going to happen. He said, but I can't keep using these certain words you want me to use. But we're going to do this. But anyway, I don't know how many
have
you got
to say about that, man.
Huh?
Yeah, I tell you what, Derek Johnson, when you said Derek Johnson, that should have ended the conversation right there. Because Derek Johnson has no business. He has no credibility. He don't even speak for the black community. The only thing Derek Johnson does is he speaks for himself, and he doesn't do a good job of representing himself. So he does not speak for the black community. Derek Johnson needs to concentrate on getting his own house in order. That's what he needs to concentrate on. The
when
NAACP.
You say his own house, you're talking about the NAACP?
Yeah, the NAACP.
Okay, just so people know.
He needs to concentrate on getting his own house in order. He don't need to be talking to President-elect Biden about nothing because he has no credibility to do so. He has no credibility. He does not speak for me, and I hope if somebody can get this word back to Joe Biden that Derek Johnson was speaking for himself and not for me. And he's lucky he was talking to Joseph Biden and not Joseph Gatewood. Or he would have really got a good cussing out is what he would have gotten.
Why don't you say what you mean, Joe?
Huh?
Why don't you say what you mean? Say what you really mean.
Say what you really mean, Munya.
when I cut out the ambiguity.
Stop beating around the bush.
Really, man, you know
hey
the mess Derek Johnson. How he gonna? Derek Johnson doesn't even have the courage to stand up to the William Barber. How you think he can go talk to? How you think he gonna go talk to the president? How many members of the NAACP have, Curtis?
Well, I think they were close to about 500,000. They were close to about 500,000 nationally.
So you got 500,000 members nationally, and you're not doing anything to increase your membership. You're never visible. I can't think of anything that has happened positive under Derrick Johnson. He got a 500,000 members, and Joe Biden got 81 million votes. So how in the world does he come about calling himself speaking for Black America? He does not.
Wow.
And I'm not going to go into the details as to why I feel that way, because I've written Derrick Johnson a couple of letters, and to this date, he has not responded to not one of them. He is so arrogant that he won't even correspond or even have a little machine or a little email automatic reply device to reply to you. Say, yes, I got your letter, and we are taking under consideration. He doesn't do any of that. Doesn't do any of that. So how in the world does he know what's going on in the minds of Black America? And when Black America reaches out to him, and he doesn't even respond.
Hmm. Wow.
I'm finished.
Hey, Leon.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Rob.
I thought you had to jump off for a minute at 7:30. I'm going to try to come back. I got to jump on a call real fast. But you guys continue.
Okay, man.
I'll try to get back to you in a minute.
Okay,
brother.
Okay, brother. All right, back.
All right.
All right.
Curtis.
Hey, let me give some history here to kind of put some meat on the bone here. Leon, that video, I did in fact see the video that you sent. And one of the main issues, which I think is very interesting, is Shirley Sherrod's name came up. Because Shirley Sherrod was the Georgia State Director of the Rural Development of the United States of America Agriculture, right?
Right.
And so she was fired from her job by the person that is being recommended to be the agricultural, over agriculture. But the problem that NAACP has, if we want to talk about history, is the reason why she was fired is because Shirley Sherrod was speaking at a branch NAACP banquet. And I'm pretty sure people are pretty familiar with Breitbart. I think he's deceased now, but he was a racist party reporter, Breitbart. And he had his little Breitbart News, and a lot of times Fox News, of course, would coincide and coordinate and use whatever his mess he comes out with. And so he went into an NAACP branch meeting, NAACP banquet, where Shirley Sherrod was speaking. And he doctored the tape, pulled out certain things she said, took it out of context, and was showing Black folk clapping that were part of the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Breitbart and the Tea Party were trying to do at that time is there had been some data that came out to show that most of the Tea Party leaders were, in fact, white supremacists. They were racist.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the Breitbart and Tea Party crew was working to do is to try to discredit that information and also suggest that the NAACP had Black racists as a part of its organization.
Okay.
So his doctoring the tape was supposed to be evidence that Black folk in the NAACP group or the NAACP banquet that night or delegates were clapping to things that were racially offensive to white people. But what he did was took out of context what she was saying, and what she was saying was a total opposite of what he was suggesting that was being said. And the reason why the NAACP has a problem with this is because the NAACP publicly went out and rebuked her.
Hmm.
I'm talking about Shirley Sherrod.
I hear you. Mm-hmm.
The president and CEO at the time was Benjamin Jealous. Now, Benjamin Jealous, I have no problem with him. Pretty good guy. But on this particular issue, he was very wrong. But it was consistent with a pattern that we've been seeing with the NAACP, especially the national NAACP over the years, is they bow to pressure from the media. And so when Breitbart and Fox News and all these guys came out demonizing, wrongfully, Shirley Sherrod, then the National NAACP came out and rebuked Shirley Sherrod also and said her comments were racist. But when they showed the comments in full context, she was telling people on how to be above racism, and she was using certain examples of what happened, but how they were able to get over it. But he took out some of the things that she said might have happened or might have been done as she became a better person. Mm-hmm. And they tried to make it look as if she was still there as to what she was saying, but she was trying to prove that if we do anything wrong, whether black or white, then there is a way that we can become better, better humans. We do not have to stay there. And so, but anyway, so the so Tom Vilsack did, in fact, give Shirley Sherrod her job back once they saw the full context.
Mm-hmm.
And the NAACP leader at the time came out and made an apology.
Okay.
The problem now we're seeing is something similar happened in the case dealing directly with me. You had people who went to the media with a false narrative, false information.
NAACP.
Huh?
NAACP people.
Right, NAACP today, fast forward, 2019. NAACP today came out with a report of an investigation about me that I was never allowed to see. A report about me, supposedly independent investigation. And the thing about it is, I want to say this right now, and I want to be very clear, and I hope somebody's listening. If we have black folk who do not believe in due process, they shouldn't be in civil rights.
That's right.
They're part of the problem. I don't care if it's William Barber. I don't care if it's Derrick Johnson. I don't care who it is. And this is what they show in this particular case that I'm referring to now as it relates to me. There has been no due process. You cannot be a part of civil rights for black people, human rights for black people, and ignore the history of the need for due process in this country. You can't, and there is no time, I don't care what the allegation is, you cannot take an allegation and run with it without due process. And what do I mean by due process? Due process providing a forum where there is fair and impartial people or peers there to hear both sides. And then once you hear both sides, you get the opportunity to question the person being asked, the opportunity to question, cross-examine anybody making an allegation, make them commit to say that what they're saying, we're going to say if it's wrong, you can be prosecuted or give affidavits that might penalty of perjury. But make people say things on the record where it can be openly challenged by both sides. If you're not willing to do that, then you should not be in civil rights.
This is what I want to ask.
Because, again, and I'm going to give you one example of this. A report that I never saw before was used by people, and Reverend Barber was one of those people, to hold press conferences. One was held on September 18, 2019. Another was held on September 25th, 2019. Because I was running for state president of NAACP. And I'm thinking, Joseph, some of his fury and frustration comes from the fact that he knows not only did he write letters to the National NAACP president, we have a process called Article 10. A person can file a complaint against you within the organization. But as a part of Article 10, there is a stipulation which says if
immediate action can be taken by the president and CEO if he wants to suspend you if you feel that there's irreparable harm that could be caused by the situation. However, upon request, upon timely request, and that would even be a part of a letter that you would send out regarding a person's suspension, you have to notify them of that right. Upon timely request, you can request a hearing. In other words, there comes your due process, right? You would get the opportunity to make your case, to bring the facts, take it out of the court of public opinion, where we always lose, and bring it into a fair and impartial process away from the media, where you are dealing specifically with the facts involved. Part of NAACP. That's just a common thing we do. Where on October 14th, I made that request, and I made sure it was timely with the general counsel of the National NAACP. My request was timely. It met the timely needs or recommendations or qualifications, eligibility, timely. But here we are, and I'll be finished with this. Here we are, December, if I'm not mistaken, it's about 14 months. There has been no hearing.
You still hadn't heard from Derrick Jones.
14 months after the request.
You still hadn't heard from Derrick Jones.
14 months, a year, and 2 months. No hearing, no election. My name was removed from the ballot. My name was moved from the NAACP membership roster. 14 months.
Have you heard from Derrick Johnson?
No. Not Derrick Johnson. Right. Joseph.
Huh?
But not only Derrick Johnson, Joseph. Listen, William Barber went public with it and urged a person to accuse me, the person that made the allegations. He urged that she become, according to her words, come public also. So they came public with the allegations on September 25th. Of course, there were allegations made on September 19th as well. But my point is, wouldn't you want, as a person of justice, to say, ho, wait a minute. You guys are making some serious allegations out there that could ruin somebody's livelihood, might even ruin their families. If you're going to make these kind of allegations, then why didn't you provide him with the report that you're reading to the media? If you have a report about this matter, and you never provided that report, the completed report, for the person you are accusing. You never provided the report for the governing committee, such as the executive committee. You never provided for the personnel committee, but you took it to the media. How can you make this justice? How can you stand there and do what you are doing? And so, these are the types of things that probably bring my brother to frustration, because he knows this story. And I have not been telling the story publicly because I've been waiting on time to go through the proper process. But when you cross over a year, then it's time for the whole world to know what's going on here.
Curtis, I wrote Derrick Johnson letter myself. I sit in I know I've sent him a minimum of 6 emails just asking him basic things like what's going on with this case or what's next. No response, like Joe said, not even an automatic response, nothing. You know, not even I'm out of the office, check on me next year, nothing. So I think it's pretty disgusting. And I think one of the problems with the panel that went before Biden and Sister Harris was that Derrick Johnson was on the panel. To be honest with you, I think that was one of the problems.
Derrick Johnson, yeah. he has no credibility at all to be speaking for anybody. You know, I mean, to me, that's just so disgusting that somebody would come out and project themselves in that way, and they know what they are doing and what they are not doing. It's just disgusting. And what I'm saying, and see, And see, and when other people see Negroes like that come out, you know, that diminishes our credibility.
Right.
So you have this guy up here that he's not even an advocate of justice within his own organization, and he's out here talking to the president elect of the United States about justice for black people, and he's supposed to be the one that's supposed to be making sure that we have justice, and he's guilty of voter suppression himself,
and making sure that the North Carolina NAACP is functioning properly, which it is not functioning really at all. Curtis.
Let me tell you this, fellas. Let me give you another scenario here.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine in the case of Trump, as bad as Trump is, and God knows he's straight from hell, and if he doesn't get his life together, he's going to hell. But after saying that, let's just say if Trump would have come together 9 days before the general election and called together press conferences, or at least had his Department of Justice or people who worked under him or all of his little circle, his clique, to come out and hold press conferences against Joe Biden 9 days before the election, making allegations. And then not only that, but demanding that Joe Biden be taken off the ballot.
Right.
We want to take Joe Biden's name off the ballot until we get these allegations straight, which were made 2 years ago, which you've had plenty of time to get straight if you wanted to get it straight, but you still haven't provided the man the so-called investigation that you're using to try to make your case. You never even shared it with the man. The man had to see it on the news 9 days before the election, two years later. But let's just say this was happening with Joe Biden. I guarantee you the NAACP would be one of the first to jump out.
And say,
"Nobody
first, on the first
this
to act like
fair. Let the people decide, hold the election, let the people decide. Okay, now you've heard the allegations, let the people decide, let the people vote. They're intelligent people. They heard the allegations. They've heard his side of the story. Now let the people vote." That's what they would be asking.
That's right.
They stopped. The thing about it, Joseph, the sad thing about it, they were not going to stop the election. They were going to go forward with the election with me off the ballot, and I'm the only person that's opposing the incumbent president. They were going to take my name off the ballot and go forward with the election. It took great people out of Alamance County, Charlotte, and various parts of the state to come together and demand that they stop the election until I receive due process through a hearing. They had to stop the election. And so the thing about it is, but seem like to me, if you really want justice, you would say, okay, we're gonna suspend you, Gatewood, until we get to the bottom of this matter. We're going to hold a press conference. I mean, no, not a press conference. We're going to hold an internal hearing. Since a complaint was filed against you, we're going to go through the process. We're going to allow you the opportunity to be heard, and we're going to expedite this process because an election is pending, and we want to make sure that the people, the great people of North Carolina, receive the media opportunity to vote. So
right. We're
going to hold our hearing immediately.
Immediately.
We are 14 months out. My
person
that opposed me as president has been operating as president ever since. Didn't win the election. So that would be.
So he was installed, basically.
So if Trump decided to make the allegations or either try to get Joe Biden removed from the ballot, and if that doesn't work, the people had to come out and protest and say, no, don't take Biden off, keep him on, and say, okay, well, we'll wait till we have a hearing, and they don't hold a hearing.
Hey, Joe, address what you just said about him being in snow, I don't think, correct, correct me if I'm wrong, Curtis, he hasn't been installed. He's just in limbo. So he just decided, I guess, to start back acting as president. He never did have the election.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Since they didn't have an election, yeah, you're right. He just decided he is gonna keep being the president. That's all right with Derrick Johnson.
So imagine if Trump could do that. If they would have stopped the election, or not had an election, or took Biden off the ballot and just let Trump be president. Don't you think that sounds like a problem? And you can remove my name out of the situation. Just make that your son or your daughter that has worked, you know, to try to be something, to try to provide a service to the community, that's worked hard, that's going out, and even have homeless people ask you, are you going to run for president? Those types of things. And you go out and you do it.
Here's what I'm going to say. We as people, we can't expect people to respect us if we don't respect ourselves. It's pretty much that simple. If you're going to go for somebody that's, especially somebody like the President of the United States, you're going to go in there talking about demanding respect or anything for that matter, you need to have your stuff together. You need to have a reputation of doing right, doing power. I'm just saying, like you said, Joseph, if there are how many million black folks in America? 23 million or something like that?
It's about 320 million.
He's talking about black people.
Yeah, black folks. So you're looking at about 23 million.
About, oh, you're talking about black people.
23 or 4 million black folks in America, and you have only 500,000 members in NAACP. That's not a good representation. You're not even scratching the surface.
Biden knew that when Derrick Johnson came up there. He had already checked Derrick Johnson's resume when he got up there.
Right.
And he knew Derrick Johnson wasn't speaking for anybody but himself.
Clear this up for me again, Curtis. You say Blasi, is that his name? Reinstated the lady's position.
He reinstated her once they got the real story out there. She, of course, after she had been terminated and all that, I think her attorneys and all the people worked with her to actually pull out the full video to be shown. And as the full video came out, it clearly showed her as a woman of integrity that was just speaking about, you know, how racism impacts, you know, this nation. And how we must rise above the evils of racism. But they tried to make it look as if when she was making a certain point, they took the video and chopped it up and just showed black folk in NAACP clapping. Then immediately people started coming out attacking her because, white people especially have a way of making things go viral with Fox News and all these other things. And my point is, again, whenever we are put under pressure from the media, black folk need to listen to this. Black folk, if you are afraid of the media, or if you're afraid of pressure from the media, that means you should not be a civil rights activist. Because the media has been corrupt ever since America has been America. And so if you're going to bow to this corrupt media and not come to your own conclusion and do your own investigation about matters, you're a sad people, because the media has been working in concert with the mobsters and the KKK ever since America has been America. And so the media has always been used to carry out a lynching. They would bring the media in to help to spread the lie, because what the media would do, the media would help to demonize or criminalize the person that's being accused, the black person that's being accused, so that they would criminalize that individual to such an extent when they lynched him, rather than people fighting, they were applauding.
Exactly.
Just for the record, to correct something we said earlier, according to the 2019 census, which of course that's the last one, 2019 census, there were 48,221,139 African Americans in the United States, which is 14.7% of the total American population of 328.2 million.
We're growing.
Wow. Huh?
We're growing.
You know, and
we're going to take a quick break.
And of course, put that in context of what we were saying earlier. That means the NAACP represents about 1% of the African Americans in this country. 1%.
We're going to take a break, guys, while we're going. Think about whether or not you're going to take this vaccine or not. We'll be right back, okay? I knew that would make Ray up. I knew that would make Ray up day right there, brother. Yes, sir.
Good man. You know, I like Mr. Groove.
I knew that would make you forget all your trouble. So what?
Oh, man, yeah. But see, the thing about it, Leon, and before we go into the questions about the vaccine, I just want to wrap up and say I have been one of the persons who actually – and I still try to make sure I keep the NAACP concepts in mind. And one of the things that NAACP has tried to do throughout the years, which makes sense, is NAACP has tried to take care of its own business inside the house. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that would be considered a violation if people come outside the house and talk about the issues, especially if you're a member. Right now I'm suspended, so I'm not a member right now. And then the next thing that happened is what happened on 2019 on September 18 and September 25th. Those people, when they took those press conferences out, as far as I'm concerned, they did away with the precedent and the rule about not talking about NAACP openly. Because they went out into the media, not only did they bash me wrongfully, but they backed the NAACP. But they're still members. They're still officers. They're still carrying their cards. They're still in private NAACP meetings and board meetings and executive committee meetings. So had any action been taken against these people, then it would have set the right tone to say, this is not how we conduct business.
Exactly.
But since they were allowed to stay and they're still walking around like they're civil rights leaders, then to me, the rule about not talking about NAACP openly, it has been taken off the board. Because what you can't do is tie somebody's hand behind their back while you beat them up in the media, but then say you can't say anything about me in the media. So, and I've waited, like I said, over a year, trying to look like, in fact, at some point, I felt like I was the only one trying to follow the rules. I violated no policy, but was suspended. The people who actually violated the policy still run around here like they're our leaders. And so that is one of the things that we have to do as part of black organizations, is make sure whenever we establish policies, we do not want to be as the oppressor and choose none of his ways. So what we want to do is to be the example of what justice should look like.
That's
so
right.
when we establish policies, protocol, we want to make sure that we have one set of rules for all participants,
for all officers, for all members. Anything other than that is discrimination. Black people can discriminate too. You can discriminate based on class. You can discriminate based on jealousy. You can discriminate based on insecurities. You can discriminate based on your cliques. So don't think that we can't discriminate. So the best thing to do, black folk, if you have an organization, if God has given you power, allow that power to shine as a light of the example of justice. You can't fight for justice while acting unjustly. If you want justice, use the power God has given you to show the oppressor how he should be acting. I'm not going to hold an organization and then go out and put your name out there in the and defame you without even giving you an opportunity to defend yourself fairly, and then act like I am the justice leader. I'm not going to stop an election or try to put somebody in, through an election without having a challenger because I don't like the opponent. That's not justice. So we have to be the light. We have to be the light of justice whenever God gives us power. Okay, thank you.
You're preaching that, brother. That's good preaching there. Well, Curtis, I want to say this, man, about you before we move on any further. I have watched you in this struggle, but not just now. I mean, even when you were in Durham, when the Mfumi guy, I think it was president back then.
Yep.
And you made a statement about the war, against the war. It came down, and I saw this editorial in the Herald Sun about the president. They showed a big old foot saying that the NAACP president had come down and kicked you up the tail. That's all kind of foolishness. Just because you were speaking out.
And I was getting lots of death threats, too.
That's what I'm saying. You know, stuff like that. I've seen you go through this. And sometimes I wonder, like a lot of us probably, what drives you? I mean, what? Then, but I'm saying this because I know now. You believe in justice. And and it's not going
to
matter.
Drive me, because I had to answer that question myself, Leon. And and I will say you guys are part of that. You're a great part of that. My wife gives me hope. My daughter. I have four beautiful granddaughters. They're the smartest young women that I know. And they're busy looking good. I believe my faith is not based on fake stuff. But I know enough about faith to take the real, the important parts that Jesus talks about when he talks, you know, or what Isaiah talks about when he said, you know, wait on the Lord. When you've done all you can do, now I have to do all I can do first. But the scripture tells me when you've done all you can do, wait upon the Lord, and then he'll renew your strength, and he will allow you to mount up with wings as eagles. And he will have you to run and not be weary. And he will have you to march on or walk and not be faint. So had it not been for that, Leon and Joseph, had I not been taught those things through the family, through my daddy, Reverend Dr. Wade H. Gatewood, through my mama, Jenny Fagata Gatewood, and having siblings that believe in doing the right thing, Leon, if I would have probably been anybody else, I don't think I could have made it. I think I would have given up, man.
Yeah,
just imagine if I had a drinking problem and something like that happened. But through the grace of God, Leon, I don't drink. So I didn't resort to the bottle after I saw my name being dragged through the mud. What if I was addicted to drugs or used drugs? I probably would have just might have OD'd, man. But through the grace of God, I don't do drugs. What if I didn't have a family or my family was already fighting with me or hated me and something like that came up? They would have destroyed me. My family would have been divided. My wife would be gone. I could have lost my wife. But my wife knew it was alive when she heard it,
you know? You know what, Curtis?
And my wife is smart. You can't do this stuff over me.
Curtis, you're making me
you
mad, man.
You can't do this stuff over these women now. Women, you can't just come out there just because a woman is a woman think she's going to believe you because she's your wife. No, that's not
you're
what happens.
You're making me mad, man. You're making me mad, man. Curtis, you're making me mad.
But
these
I'm
guys
just trying
didn't
to
care
tell
about that. They didn't put any of that under consideration.
Yeah,
none of that.
They didn't take any of that under consideration. They didn't care if I would have killed myself. They didn't care if my wife would have left me. They didn't come to me and say, Curtis, look, we're hearing these things. Can you talk to us, brother? Because, number one, I want to talk to you to know if it's true. Number two, and if it's true, I want to minister you. I want to counsel you because I've seen your work. I've seen your potential. And I
making
know
me mad, man.
Is. Huh?
Making me mad, man.
So if they could have done that, Leon, then I would have known they were sincere. If they would have said, Curtis Gatewood, we're hearing this stuff, man. Let's set up a meeting and talk. No,
none of that.
They hid information from me, gave it to my enemies, a so-called report, and then took it to the media. Never let me see it until I saw it on TV 2 years later, right before a meeting, right before the election. Leon,
man,
I
got the baby brother.
Race.
Look, baby brother,
I'm
glad, man. He came online
right
and
here.
He heard you talking, man. He
I
came online.
Racist, man. But
huh?
Go ahead.
Daniel.
Hey,
what's up, brother?
Daniel.
Come on, Daniel.
Brother. Good to hear y'all.
What's
Peter
doing, man?
Huh?
Daniel, man.
We know you
had. See, Daniel's another one, Leon.
Huh?
You know you boys. I know y'all right. Y'all stay on the right track, and you're trying to do the right thing. But my baby brother has been such a brilliant example, a brilliant supporter. You got people like that, man, Leon. If I didn't have Daniel and you guys and my wife and my family, my sisters, man, like I said, this could have destroyed someone. It could have driven them to, you know, think about it. You worked hard, man. You worked hard to build a life. You worked hard to build your reputation up. You worked hard to help people. You've seen all kind of crazy stuff. Look, in my case, Leon, I'm the one at the office trying to make people do the right thing. That's the next thing about this. The people who did what they did were obviously rebelling because I was asking Barbara, do you know that these people, this person's contract, work contract has expired? And if you are planning to give this person a new work contract, can you talk to me first? Because since you left me here to supervise in your absence, I'm seeing some things that you probably should know if you're thinking about renewing these contracts. And that's going, this is directly about the person who's making the allegation and the person who's close to the person making the allegation who's supposed to be training her, the person who recommended that this person work. I'm going directly after them, not, but this is before any allegations have been made against me, 3 months prior. And what I found out, Leon, is the same guy who made the recommendation to hire my accuser, the same person who was supposed to be training her, which I think he was basically just training her to hate me, the same person is also, what we later found out, he had administrative codes where he could read all the emails that's coming in. So anytime I wrote an email against him to Barbara or whomever, or against the accuser, he could get it. He could go back and take it. That's, if he wanted to do that, take it and share it with her. If Gatewood is saying your work contract should be terminated or you shouldn't be, he could take it right back to him. I didn't even know that he had the administrative code. But since this process has gone on, he has sent us almost every workplace email and everyone except the ones he supposedly has sent. Any email. And the thing about it is, even with that, Leon, they have no email that I've ever sent this person. No text that I've ever sent this person. No chatting. Nothing.
That's what I can do.
So I'm just saying, people need to know this stuff when they're reading this mess in the newspaper. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. They drew first blood. They put it in the newspaper. I'm not here just talking about people. But it went into the newspapers all across the country. And I've waited. I've waited for the hearing. I've waited for justice. Now God is waiting on me.
Yeah. Look, bro.
So I'm sorry about that, y'all.
You know where I am with it, man. You know where all the other brothers are with it, man. You know, we in this together. So,
yeah.
That's
but thank
much.
You, Dan. You're glad you're on the phone, man. Sorry about this, man. You know, sometimes I have a right, I have a talk.
I'm not out here trying to push the vaccine. Almost said advancing. I'm not here trying to push the vaccine. I'm just going to say this right here.
Okay.
If it works, it's a great deal. It's a good deal because
right.
Coronavirus is tearing up some stuff. It is really killing a lot of people. So if it works, and I hope it does, if
right.
I find something that works, to keep me from getting it, I'm gonna take it.
Right.
I'm just gonna put it out there like that.
Yeah. Well, my only thing is, I've never been saying don't take it. My thing is, I get question marks over my head of suspicion whenever the news media or the president or anyone else saying that black and Latinos should take it first, blacks and Latinos or black people, because they're at higher risk. Now, my thing is, if you care about me, don't just wait to be the first to be in line for the vaccine. Send me the money that you stole from us. Put me in that front line. And you put me in the front line of the money that you stole, then I can decide whatever medical treatment I need. I have the money. I have the resources. I have the insurance. But if you keep stealing from me and robbing from me and shooting me down in the streets, and then you say, by the way, we want you to get be the first to get in line for the vaccine, that's where people are having the problem. So I'm saying if it works, let it work. If it works, Trump take it. Trump, I've noticed, has decided he's going to refer to his doctor before he take the vaccine. Trump has never referred to anybody for anything.
Man, Trump probably already took the vaccine, man. You can't bring that Trump, say.
Well, either way, I'm just saying, if it works, fine. But I just say I don't think black folks should be the first ones in line, and I'll leave it at that.
I'm gonna agree with you on that. I'm gonna agree with you on that because I'm gonna make sure if I'm in line, there's gonna be some white people in there with.
Right.
Yeah.
What you think? What you saying today, Daniel? How you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I think Alice, she gonna sign up for it. A lot of people at her job, you know, she works at the hospital, VA.
Yeah.
And so she.
I have no problem with that.
We got these boys running out of the house all the time,
right.
Here and there. So.
And I respect, and I certainly respect anybody who's on the front line decide to do what they need to do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not having to. You know, deal with people every day. And if you have the expertise as it pertains to health and you're having to be the first person there on the line, I got another red flag a little bit when I was hearing there were certain people who were on, you know, medical professionals who did not want to be the first to take it. So I'm just saying if there are those who are and there are those who feel like they have the information, and they have enough information to feel comfortable doing this, then I say go ahead. But all I'm saying is don't be pressured. No one should be pressured to do it.
Yeah, and the next thing I keep hearing people say, I wouldn't be the first to take it. We're not going to be the first to take it. We're not going to be the first to get it. I can tell you that now. It'll be a long time before we get it, if we do get it. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to sell it. I'm not trying to talk anybody against it. I just want to hear some opinions on it. That's all.
Right. I got you.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Guys, my time is up. Brothers for Real Show, his time is up. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you, brothers, man. Be so excited when we can see each other again.
Right.
I tell people all the time, I think the boys getting the virus. I don't think they're going to get it from each other. Now, these others, we have been very scared.
When you going on Christmas, nigga?
Huh?
Where you going Christmas?
207 Willow Street.
That sounds pretty good.
It's a good
place.
Oh, I love it. Guys, look, we out of here, man. Appreciate you guys. Hey, Joseph, you still there, buddy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You be careful going home, man. I'll see you in the office. Be careful out there, bro. We're going to roll out of here.
I am, you know.
Make sure it's another good song, man.
See you, Daniel. Where are you, Daniel? Home, Daniel.
Joseph. Hey, brother.
Home, Daniel.
Yeah.
Always family,
Michael Regal.
Tell them I said, hey.
All right.
Do
likewise.
Same with the rest of
you,
boys.
Yeah, man. I'll be careful, man. Love you, boys. Listen, love y'all, man. Love y'all, man. Hey, man. Love y'all, too, man.
Love you all. Love you, brothers, and all you.
I'm a master. They ain't got authorized
to
them.
Oh, three fingers.
Huh?
Oh, you're saying
three
fingers
in there. Right. There's some of us that got authorized
to them. Hard to get them up. The Lord has given us something, man. The Lord has given us a gift.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do something, man. I mean, I know. Right now, we're being hindered quite a little bit, you know, with the COVID-19 virus thing going on. But we need to be preparing for what God has for us. I think this, especially on my end, movement DJ type thing where we are helping to expose people to real music, you know.
Right.
You know, we might not be able to play every record that's conscious, but we can throw one in there, you know, from time to time. And keep gradually building it up and say something to the people that would give them hope. Not talking on the mic all night, but every now and then throw something in there that can inspire somebody. You know, I think we can use this as another form of providing hope while people are happy, having a good time.
Yeah, I know.
You heard me talking about all this stuff tonight. You got to get a book together and write all this stuff down, man. Because people need to know the real story. Because you never know. I got people out there like Tim Tyson out there walking around with his pad. You saw how he was. He's out there. He was one of the first ones out there trying to kick me while I was down. You never know what they're trying to do before. Putting their story to write stuff down, this kind of thing. They got some truthful writing ongoing about all of our stories, really. All you guys have is stories.
Oh, it's the story that I know.
Yeah.
The boy, yeah.
All right.
All right.
A long time ago, who won the night? There was a star in the east, shining bright. Shepherds sitting out on a hill, watching their sheep lying still. They got on the camel and began to ride.
Family doing good, man. I'm proud of you. You're
good. We got to this thing up to one turn. We got about 10 minutes to come and just do some non-stop mixing or something.
You can do it, man.
Can that thing be hooked up to a mixer?
Yes, sir.
Man, yeah.
I'm going to do about.
Huh?
coming straight out of the computer, you know. You can call in direct on your computer.
Wow.
Go live, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do something with that at some point.
Good talk to Robert, man. See how we can get him to make it work.
Yeah. I think he sent me something one time. I have to go back and check it. But,
yeah, go back and check it.
Yeah, I think he did because he was thinking he wanted me to deal with, what was that guy named Neely? What is that guy?
Ian Fuller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think initially he was talking to me about that.
Yeah.
But at the time, I had so much stuff going on with the tape, man. I couldn't commit to that.
Right.
I was going to try, but every time I was around, I needed to respond to.
So, I
get in my head.